inside your programs, you should have a copy of today's teaching notes. Now, the awesome part is that so far today, we've been talking about a lot of joyful things. We've been seeing a lot of joyful stuff. Now, guess what I'm talking about today? The joy of desperation. Oh, wow. Isn't that ironic? Do me a favor. Turn to Mark chapter 19. Or excuse me, Mark chapter 9. The youth know that I tend to mess up on which scripture we're pointing at today. So, thanks, Jordan. Mark chapter 9. How many of you guys have ever been in desperate situations before? I mean, let's be honest. We've been in desperate situations. They could be anything. They could be in the form of needing money. They could be a place of, needing a place to live, getting the car fixed, getting a car, right? It could be in the form of food. It could be form of anything. It could be form of needing some friends, some new friends, right? And we can get desperate in those situations. There's many, many things that we can be desperate for, all right? But let's be honest. There's one thing that's not really a thing that we really need to be desperate for all the time, and that's Jesus, all right? I want to talk to you guys today about the joy of desperation, and I know that as soon as I said that, a lot of you people were like, I don't want to hear this today. I don't need to hear about desperate times because I've already gone through them, Pastor Michael, all right? Do me a favor. Hang in there. Hold on to the end of the sermon because at the end of the sermon, I want you guys to hopefully be able to walk out of here being able to know that in those desperate times, in those desperate situations, we still have a God who loves us and cares for us, and it's okay to be able to be in those desperate situations as long as that desperation is leading you to the Lord and not away from the Lord, okay? So I'm going to ask real fast, Hezekiah Ensley. Hezekiah, can you come on up? Hezekiah is going to be doing the reading today for the scripture. Hezekiah is part of the Royal Rangers. He's also officially a sophomore at Elk Grove High. For those of you who don't know, just on a quick side note, Royal Rangers are going to be doing a special event coming up on June 2nd. June 2nd, we have the yard sale going on. Now, if you have stuff that you'd like to donate to the yard sale, you can still do that. Please, please get that in. Hopefully this week if you're able to. But if not, talk to Rod and Debbie Alderson because they want to be able to see what they can do to be able to help you get the stuff over here if it needs to come to that. All right? Do me a favor, can you guys rise as we get ready to read the scripture? We're going to stand in honor of God's word. Hezekiah, good to see you, man. Can you take over?
When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever I see him, it throws him into the ground, becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit. They could not." "You unbelievable generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. "Jesus," the boy's father, "how long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father reclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "uncommand you. Come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him politely, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind come out only by prayer."
Thank you, Hezekiah. Lord, we thank you so much for this word. God, we thank you so much that as we read this, we see people who are desperate. And God, in our lives, we can go through desperation. God, I pray that as we go through this teaching today, we would leave here knowing your great love for us and know that you are still in control. We thank you so much for your great love. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Amen. Hezekiah, thank you very much. Guys, give Hezekiah a round of applause. My goodness. I asked him to read almost a whole chapter out of the Bible in front of you guys. That's fantastic for a high schooler. So here's the deal, all right? Here's what I want to talk to you guys about today, all right? Now, when we look at the scripture, first off, we find this story two other parts of the Bible, all right? We find it in Matthew chapter 17. We also find it in Luke chapter 9. Now, this is the longest version of that story. Pastor Brent and I were talking, and he was going, "I wonder why this is the longest version." And we were just kind of talking back and forth, and in going through my studies, I realized this. The reason that's the longest version is because this was dictated by Peter, one of the disciples that was there, an eyewitness of this encounter, as he came back with Jesus and John and James from the Mountain of Transfiguration, all right? He's just been with Jesus, all right? He's heard the voice of God, and all four of them are walking back now. And there's a mess going on, right? Now, let's be honest here. How many of you guys have ever come to church on Sunday morning and you show up and things are, they're hanging in there. And you come in and you got a great time of worship. And you come in and you hear a great, fantastic message. And you leave here, and you are on a spiritual high. You're thinking, "I have hope again. Jesus, your word says that you will never leave me or forsake me." And then you go down to the end of the parking lot, and you hop on Stockton Boulevard. The giggles are already happening, because we all know you get on Stockton Boulevard, there's about a 70% chance you're going to hit traffic, right? Some of you guys, me included, might not do well in traffic, right? But then it gets worse, right? Because then you got your kids in the back seat, and they start arguing a little bit. They start bickering a little bit just about anything, any possible thing that they can think of. But today it's food. And you can tell that everyone in the car is getting a little hangry, right? And you're getting a little, not only are you hangry, but you're stuck in traffic hangry and listening to a whole bunch of arguing going on that you don't need to hear, right? And it is escalating. It's getting bigger and bigger, right? You get home. You go, "I got this. I'll take care of this today. I'm going to make some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Everything's going to be fine." As you're making the sandwiches, you spill grape jelly all over yourself, right? And it lands on the floor, too, and you're like, "Oh, man, I got to clean that up." Now your helper comes to take care of this, right? Because God's given you a helper, right? Your dog comes over and starts Your dog comes over and starts licking up all the jelly that's on the ground. So you got mess on you, but you can make it, all right? We can make it through sandwiches, all right? Now, after you finish up with the sandwiches, you turn, slip on the drool, right? Sandwiches go everywhere. Big mess all over the place, right? You've gone from, "My God will never leave me nor forsake me," to, "My God, why have you left me and forsaken me," right? "Where are you?" Right? Here's the cool part, is that you look at the story, and Jesus had those moments where he left from a spiritual high with his disciples and came back into the world, and yet he still affected the world. That is hard. That's hard to come back and to get hit with reality and try to keep going and try to stay in that spiritual high and keep that flow moving. But Jesus proved that we could do it. Now here's what happens. Is that we continue on and we find out that Jesus is showing up into this mess, right? But here's the cool part. Is that Jesus showed up into that mess just in time. My first feeling is this. Jesus always shows up just in time, right? Now, here's the crazy part about all this, right? When we go through our lives, we might feel like, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, are you there? Are you paying attention to me? Jesus, your word says that you love me. Your word says that you care about me. Your word, and you can keep going through and pulling out the promises of God, which are great. That's great to be able to pull out the promises of the Lord. That's the importance of knowing Scripture. So when you're getting beat down, you can combat the enemy with his word. That's how Jesus did it. All right? But you're getting beat down, and you're wondering, Lord, are you there? You might not see him yet. You might not know what he's up to, but he is on his way, and he will show up at just the right time. Okay? I want to share a little something that happened. Denise and I's year started off in a little bit of a funk, right? We started off, we were just getting out of nowhere, like weird things were happening to us, like things that we never would have thought were just coming at us and hitting us again and again and again. Now, one of those things was this. My father-in-law got sick all of a sudden and needed to have an operation, right? Now, the hard part is this, is that my father-in-law, he's been through a few different operations. And because of those things, this next operation was going to be a risky situation. It's going to be one of those points where it's just, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, but Lord, we're going to trust you. Now, in going through all this craziness, we were driving back and forth to Reno, to the Bay Area, to Reno, here, over there, this, that place, everything. How many of you guys know when emergencies hit, sometimes the finances start to dwindle down, start to bleed down a little bit, and you're just at that point where you're going, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Your word says to trust you. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to continue to trust you. Well, we were in that point where we're seeing our finances continue to dwindle more and more and more down, and we're just like, Lord, we're just going to do what's right. We're going to pray, we're going to trust you, and we're going to do what's right. And then Denise and I went to a marriage retreat weekend. While we were gone, Pastor Brent, without us even knowing about it, talked to you guys about us and just asked you guys if you'd be willing to help us out with a special offering for us. Can I just tell you, that offering came at just the right time. Okay? Now, I say all that partly to go along and talk to you about this, but another part is this. On behalf of my wife, Denise, myself, my son, our families, thank you guys very, very much. You guys blessed us so much. You blessed us financially, but you also reminded us spiritually that we have people that always have our backs. Like, we know it. We know it up here. But to know it in our hearts is super, super, I mean, there's no words for it. It's what we need to be able to know and have. So thank you guys very much. I know waiting on the Lord is tough. Hang in there. Stay the course. Because in due time, everything is going to work out. Because that is the God that we serve. Right? He's not a God that's sitting there going, let me see how close I could get before I mess with them and, you know, have them just completely lose their minds. No. He knows that anyway, thank God. But he's not going to get us to that point. Right? Now, here's the deal. Right? Just remember, when you get to that point of breaking, when you get to that point of, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it, Lord. Just remember, he's on his way. All right? My second point is this. Our Savior cares. All right? Verses 20 through 22 in this text in Matthew chapter 9 are all about a conversation between Jesus and a boy's father who has been seeing his son just go through situation after situation after situation. He's seen his son go through the worst possible things. It says that it's the spirit, this unclean spirit that was in him, was even trying to throw him into the fire or into the water to try to kill him. The spirit that had robbed him of his speech was trying to also destroy God's creation, right? And in all of those situations, we find this out. The boy's father was getting to that point of desperation. He was getting to that point where he had no other option. I mean, it says it in the scripture when he says, Lord, if you can do anything, please help us, right? And I don't think the father realized just how desperate he was, just how much his faith was being tested, where it was hanging on by a string. And wondering, in a sense, if God really cared for him too, right? Because it wasn't just the child who was suffering. It was his family too. When Noah was first born, we had to rush him back to the hospital because the first day that he was home, within 24 hours, he started pushing really, really hard when he was crying. He pushed so hard with his, just while trying to let out a cry, that he stopped breathing and just passed out for a second. And so what felt like an eternity in my mind was just a few seconds. But he came to, thank God, and we had to take him back into the hospital, right? Now, as we're in the hospital, one of the first things they realized was that he was dehydrated. And so they tried to put a little tube inside of him, and they missed. And they tried again, and they missed. And they tried a third time, and they missed. And I'm sitting there as this little boy's father. Now, I've known this kid for less than 72 hours, right, that I've been able to physically hold him. And I am at the point where I am clenched fist thinking to myself, don't you miss a fourth time or I won't miss. Okay? Finally got everything taken care of. Now that said, okay, that's 72 hours worth of dadding. Okay? This dad has been seeing this struggle go on if, and Jesus gives him the reminder. He says, if I can do anything, are the words of someone that has knowledge of God up here. And knowledge of his love, but doesn't know that with all their heart and strength, God loves them. They don't know in here. And we get to those points. We get to those points of desperation, right? But Jesus starts to counsel his dad, right? He says, all things are possible to him who believes, right? Jesus just didn't sit there and go, all right, I'm just going to go heal the boy. Boom, it's all over. And dad, your faith can just grow as it wants to, right? He says, no, I'm going to take care of two situations right here. The situation right here with this boy, the big situation. But I'm also going to take care of that little situation. Now, in our lives, God loves us enough that we have those little situations in here and in here that God wants to help us through as well, right? Now, I do want to put in a little side note here, all right? And I threw this in your notes, all right? When we read this story, I don't want you guys reading this and thinking that every time there's some kind of a medical issue that's some kind of demon, all right? That's not the case, okay? In this situation, that was very much the case. but not always, all right? Now, as Jesus is counseling the dad, his doubt, his fear, his worry that was getting built up in that argument that was happening a little bit early on in the verse, when the disciples first showed up, when Jesus and the disciples first showed up, because the disciples couldn't cast out the spirit. Quick side note, gonna take a quick little rabbit trail over here. When you're a disciple of a rabbi or a teacher, right? One of the things is this. Your goal is to be able to do the same things that the teacher or rabbi does. So was the disciples have seen Jesus cast out evil spirits. In Mark chapter 6, a couple chapters earlier, the disciples had already been sent out to cast out spirits and heal people, right? And they were doing it. But in this situation, they couldn't. And I think to myself, why is that? And I start to think to myself, because I know the relationship that I have with the Lord, I'm just going to put a little bit into there and assume that it might have just been the disciples just went in and just said, well, let's just do it like we've always done it. And when they went in and said, let's just do it like they always done it, they did it, but they didn't ask for the Spirit to come in and do it. They weren't quietly listening to the Spirit and listening to what he had to do. Now, again, let's go back to that whole thing, all right? If you're a disciple and you're trying to be like the rabbi, like the teacher, like Jesus, go back and read that whole story of Jesus walking on water. It'll blow your mind. It's fun. So, but the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. Now, this is bringing doubt and worry in this argument. Can Jesus do it if his disciples can't? Can the rabbi do it if he can't, if these guys can't? And Jesus, before that doubt could get completely out of control and start blowing everybody away, calmly steps in. And here's how I picture it. I don't picture it as Jesus walking in and waving his hands around and speaking in a holy voice. Because it says that as everyone starts rushing over, Jesus quickly rebuked the spirit, cast it out of the boy. Jesus was trying to be as discreet as possible. I wonder to myself if Jesus even raised his voice. Because there's power in his name. All right? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29 says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Remember this in chaos, in turmoil, in doubt, in fear. Jesus still cares for you, all right? Now, last thing is this. I just kind of covered it a little bit. Last villain is this. There is power. There is still power in the name of Jesus. Now, at that point, Pastor Brent would say, this is a perfect place for an amen. Okay, thank you very much. This is how it works. This is awesome. I'm going to try that more often. Okay. So, Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. I'm going to read that again real fast. It says, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed, and violently came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. The interaction between Jesus and this evil spirit was simple, right? It wasn't a battle between two equally matched beings or entities. It was one that had authority and power and one that had none. None. Jesus said, come out of him. It shrieked, it freaked out, and it left. Because there is still power in Jesus Christ's holy name. All right? We need to remember that. Now, sometimes sometimes in us, and I'm going to say, I say us, but I will even, I'm throwing myself in us, okay? Sometimes that inner Pharisee inside of us is looking for a show, right? We're looking for God to come up and just go, we, or, you know, if someone's getting healed at the altar, we're looking for people to be able to fall down all the time or to, you know, suddenly just, you know, start crying and weeping and stuff like that. And there's so many different things that are fantastic, but it's not always going to happen like that. It's not always some big show. Sometimes it's those simple moments with God that change our lives dramatically. If you're looking for a feeling in your relationship with the Lord, you're looking for the wrong thing. You need to be looking for the Lord. Okay? Seek the Lord. Because there's power in his name. All right? Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this. It says, therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Right? That's the God that we serve. And in the world that we live in, we've had so many people just taint the name of Jesus. Right? Just turn them into situations where flippantly they're saying Jesus' name. Right? Where people might abuse the name of Jesus, might sit there and try to say they're doing this in Jesus' name, and I'm not sure if Jesus is in that name over there. But we can experience that, and people can abuse that. And it was never meant to be abused. It was meant to be powerful. And still is, if you believe, like that boy's father, like that boy's father. Now, here's the result, right? We see prayer happening. We see Jesus showing up. We see faith being restored, faith that he still cares for us, all right? And the authority by the power of Jesus Christ's name all came together and brought healing and freedom. And that didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. That happens today, again and again and again. Okay? But here's the crazy part. Is that after that freedom came, what happened? It says that boy fell to the ground and lie there as if he were dead. And Jesus walked over to that boy and helped him up. Raised him up again, right? We are a group of people that our fundamental faith is that one man, Jesus Christ, died on a cross for our sins. He died to give us life and life in abundance. And yet when death happens, it scares us, right? But you also have to remember that we also believe in a God who is able to raise to life those things that are dead, right? Those things that may have been sitting inside of us, that God spoke to us years and years ago, that we may have questioned again and again and again in our lives. God can raise those things to life because that is the God whom we serve, a God who has power in his name. Now think about this. We're living 2,000 years later after all this stuff went on. When Jesus died, how many of you guys ever think about what the disciples must have been thinking for those 2 days? There was death there. And it stunk. And it causes you to question your faith. Causes you to wonder, are you still there? Are you who you said you were? Right? But remember, there's joy in that desperation. There is true joy because that resurrection is coming again. Last thing I want to talk about is this. Verses 28 and 29, after all this stuff went down, after the healing, after the restoration, after the father's faith is taken care of, after the boy is no longer experiencing this evil spirit tormenting him, after all of that happens, Jesus has to go talk to the disciples, right? For not being able to cast out the spirit. And so he just goes over there and has a little chat with them. It says, after Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind comes out only by prayer. How many of you guys know Jesus wants to talk with us? Jesus wants to have some quiet time with us. When we have our time where we feel like, what was that, God? Or those times when you're just like, God, did I totally just miss an opportunity to be able to share you with others? Or did I just totally mess up in front of everybody and just completely ruin my credibility as a Christian? Jesus wants to talk to us and restore us and help us and learn from the past situations how to be able to do the next situations better, all right? Now, his disciples had seen the power of Jesus. They had even moved in that power, all right? But I think they just kind of went into that little conformity area, right? Which is rough. Because sometimes it could feel like, well, God, if you could just make this a pattern, if you could just give me a list of things to do in order to be able to be close to you and I could just check those off, it'll be a lot easier. We're turning into robots, people, at that point. And God didn't create robots. He created people that he wanted to be able to have a loving relationship with. One that he could be able to love us, and we can choose to love him, but it's always going to be that choice, right? The problem that the disciples had is they had no power on their own. And honestly, on our own, we don't have any power either, right? But that's okay, because it all comes from Jesus. So, I want to encourage you with this. Pray. Pray desperately. Cling to your faith in desperation. And know, Jesus is coming. And that's a good thing. It might be a little bit longer than we want him to take, but he's coming. And he's there. Here's the cool thing about desperation, though. The cool thing about desperation, yeah. Anyway, I said that. Desperate people are willing to get real with Jesus. Desperate people are willing to pray more. And prayer is what moves the hand of God. Can we pray? Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you love us. That you didn't just start this whole world off, spin the earth around, and then walk away. That you see everything that's going on in our lives, in the lives of people around the world. God, when we sit there and we see the news and we ask the question, what is going on? You already knew that this was going to happen. And yet you still loved us. You knew all of our faults, all of our failures. And yet you still care. You knew the hard times that we were going to experience. Through sin, through suffering, through making bad choices. And you said, I got this. I'll send my son down to take care of this. Lord, I pray that however desperate people are in this room for you to move in their lives, Lord, I pray that you would honor that, that you would help them, that as we reach Stockton Boulevard, that our faith would not waver, but that we would choose to trust you. Just like that boy's father, that we would choose to remember that anything is possible with you. And Lord, help us to see that. Help us to know that you are not done yet. Help us to hang in there when we are crying out in desperation, because we know that you are there and that you are a loving God. We thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Amen.